Good afternoon. This is the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Public Safety. Today is April 12th, 2017, and I'm opening the public hearing on Senate Bill 5532. And I have with me this afternoon the Oregon Military Department. And I'll let, you want to say some comments, or should I just go right directly to Mr. Stuckey?
You may go right to Mr. Stuckey.
Okay. Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, members of the committee, thank you for allowing us to be here today. I'm Dave Stuckey. I'm the Deputy Director of the Oregon Military Department, and with me today is...
Co-Chairs, members of the committee, I'm Sean McCormick. I'm the Director of Financial Administration for the Oregon Military Department.
We understand it's our, we are the first Phase 2 presentation for an agency budget bill. I think sometimes it's really good to be first. I don't know about today. But our hope and our desire is that right after the next revenue forecast on May 16th, that you'll be thinking of us. And so we've had a very narrow scope of briefing topics here. The two co-chairs and through the Legislative Fiscal Office has set this up. And so we just have about 10 slides, and it shouldn't take too long. It won't be like it was on Phase 2. Agenda. These are basically three tasks that we wanted to discuss with you today: Youth Challenge, the Portland Air National Guard, and then the two fire departments. Our common three in all three of these topics is the federal-state mix. We always have, I assume that's common with the rest of the state agencies, but we have cooperative agreements with the National Guard Bureau. And so you'll hear me use the terms NGB as well as cooperative agreement. And so we get a lot of federal money for a lot of our projects, and it takes some state match or state piece to each one of these projects. Slide. Just a quick reminder, this is our major program areas. Wow. The two items in red are the two areas that I'll be covering today. First and foremost, I'd like to cover a Youth Challenge program. We have our director here with us today, Mr. Dan Radabaugh, if this gets too technical. But just as a base point, the Youth Challenge runs two 22-week resident courses over in Central Oregon and Bend. That 22-week course at the completion of graduation then has a year-long mentorship program, non-resident mentorship program. We receive about 150 students from across the state, and so they're generally at-risk children, young adults, 16, 17, 18 years of age. In 2015, this legislative body was gracious enough to provide a bond for that facility, and that was to remodel it, to make it bigger, to add more students. 84 to be exact is what our target goal is. And it was a $4.97 million bond. With that comes additional staff and requirements. And so what the Youth Challenge program, our design going into this was, is to bite this off in two chunks. First, phase one was to add about 24 students, and we needed around 13 new staff members. And it was going to cost some money. We requested it. It didn't make it into the executive branch budget. And so what we're asking for today is a reconsideration of that topic. What came back was, use your average daily membership money. And so we do get ADM money, average daily membership money, from Department of Ed through Ben Lapine School District. And we have a great relationship with Ben Lapine. They're fantastic partners in this program out in Bend, Oregon. And we want to keep that going. To use ADM for this first phase and to start paying for these new counselors and the new staff and the one-time cost that it takes to start filling a new remodeled facility burns us up later down the road, and there's some risk associated to that, and I'd like to talk to you about that. In general, the Youth Challenge program on the federal side on any given biennium is about $7.9 million. What we're asking you to consider is this, reconsider, is this right here, this 205. Forever in a day, which is a long time, we've had about 200K in our biennial budget for the Youth Challenge program. It did not make it into the executive branch budget. So we're asking you to reconsider that, adding that 205 back into the current service level. I would like to say that I'm not trying to overstep this. We were fortunate enough to have our governor come out to the Youth Challenge program on 9 March. She had a great experience. She'd been there before. She had another great experience, and there was a topic of discussion about funding. And when we left this, I said, do I have permission to go back and talk to Senator Winters about this funding? And she said yes.
And just for the record, she and I did have that conversation, and she just confirmed what you just stated.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. So a little bit tricky. Next slide. So if we use ADM money, this average dealership money, what we have at the end of this biennium is $930,000. That's real dollars sitting in an account that we can use. And we fully expect to use that money for hiring these 13 new counselors, some student corrections, some teachers, as well as some one-time costs. But if we do that for phase two, which is what we're planning for the 19 to 21 biennium, then what we're going to have here is a deficit of $562,000. He did the math 15 different times. Actually, he didn't do it. Debbie Stratman in the back of the room did it.
Very true.
And so assuming that based on average daily membership stays the same, what we're asking for here is the $205,000, if it could stay in the budget for this biennium, and if there's that possibility of it occurring in the next biennial budget, and I recognize you're not trying to encumber the next legislative body, then we'll come real close with that $400,000 to offset what it takes to have both phase one and phase two instructors to get the 84 students that we need to plus it up and to fill the bunks and the seats that we want to in this remodel. That's youth challenge.
See if I understand, 204 and 204 plus.
205 co-chair winners with 205 times two would be
210.
Yes.
I mean 410.
410, yes, ma'am. And it gets us in the ballpark. Use the ADM. There's an augmentation would be nice to get us into phase two in future years.
For the record, you might want to state what percentage of the ADM do you receive, because you do not receive the total ADM.
We receive 80% of the ADM dollars, and then the Ben Lapine School District retains 20% through an agreement.
Thank you.
And they're the services that they provide. There's a lot of services that they provide that we don't want to replicate. Let the schools do their job.
Yeah, I wanted that for the record, because somebody's probably listening in and will do the calculation on what we give for ADM. So just for the record, I know that you receive, you don't receive the 100%, you receive 80% of the ADM.
So that concludes Youth Challenge. Briefing point two, it's the stormwater at the Portland Air National Guard Base. Portland Bureau of Environmental Services sir.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Yes, Representative Huffman.
It was soaking in slowly. So you get 80%, like charter schools are similar, and you can basically negotiate. I know there are actually some rare instances, you probably count them on these fingers, they get 100%. There's one here in Salem that has had a deal worked out that I understand is in the process of changing. They've been getting 100%. Have you had conversations with the school district, Ben Lapine, to see if you can get that up to 85 or 90%? And the reason I ask is, I was on a work group with Senator Roebling looking at the possibility of looking at maybe changing the percentages, and I was slow to buy into. Charter schools wanted 95% of the ADMW funding across the board, and I said, well, I can't really go for that because it's not apples and apples. Not every charter school is the same. But I do know that there's that possibility to go in and negotiate and argue that if the school district is not providing a lot of oversight and administration or anything like that, then to get it up to 85 or 90% is not unreasonable in a lot of cases, some cases.
Yeah. Co-chairs, Representative Huffman, I'll turn it over to Dan here a little bit. I'm a resident of the city of Sherwood. My kids have both gone to the Sherwood Charter School, and it's a 75-25%. And so what they do for us to have the best educational experience for our kids is do a cost share. I usually pitch in about $400 a year for my kid to go to that Sherwood Charter School to augment, because they just don't get all the funding they need from the school district. What does the school district do? How do they provide those services? I'm not going to get into that, but I understand that, but that principle.
In your situation, though, that was my guess, because I know the reason they're not the same everywhere is some places the school district provides the building, in other places they don't. The charter school has to rent
counseling
their
services, you know, whatever. Yes, sir.
So, yeah, sir. It varies.
So, Co-Chair Stark, Co-Chairs Winters, members of the committee, I'm Dan Radabaugh, the Director of the Youth Challenge Program. Representative Huffman, we have had discussions with Bend La Pine School District regarding the pass-through money of the ADM and the percentage that they do take. The amount of work that they do administratively for the program warrants the 20% that they do keep for themselves for the services that they do provide for the program. They do annual an annual audit of the facility, of the credentials of the teachers. They do the curriculum review, and they ensure that they have a report prepared for the board, for the school district. So the amount of work that they do conduct for the program, it warrants the 20%.
Okay. It's worth the question, Madam Chair. That's good to know.
Thank you. But I would also think, because these young people come from all around the state, so you would also have some transfer issues as far as paperwork and what have you, that I would think somebody has to be responsible for.
Co-Chair Stark, Co-Chair Winters, you're absolutely correct. They do have to review the attendance of each student with the Department of Education. They have to administer the IEP program for those students who require the IEP.
Or 504 is very challenging topics, so.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Co-chairs, members of the committee, I'd like to transition here, if I could, to Portland Stormwater. Portland Bureau of Environmental Services, they have assessed a fee on the 5.3 million square feet of ground that we have at the Portland Air Base, and it's for the impervious areas. It was not an easy bill to take. There was actually a court proceeding that we elected to participate in. We lost, and so we owe a bill, and it's 1.1 million. Interestingly enough, on 1 July, it went up 3%. And so GARB Bureau, in this whole litigation, this discussion, was paying 100%. But on 1 September of this year, September 1st, they're saying no more 100%. It's now going to be 80-20. And it goes back to that cooperative agreement that we have with GARB Bureau. So GARB Bureau is going to pay almost $900,000 of it. The $224K, they're saying, state, you're going to have to figure out how to do it. This is a 80-20. 80-20 federal to state match, and so that's one of those points that we're asking for your consideration. Next slide is the fire departments. The fire departments have, generally speaking, they provide around $13 million in federal funding, and it's the two fire departments, both at Kay Falls, Kingsley, as we call it, and Portland Air National Guard Base. They provide services not just to the air bases, but also to the local communities. And so the Guard Bureau, in this case, has said, we're going to do 100%, but there's always strings. And 100%, it really isn't 100%. They said anything that goes beyond the collective, that's collectively bargained, that's above and beyond a standard pay, the GARB Bureau is not going to pay that. And we have incentive pays that we have bargained over the years. This has happened over many generations of time. And that equals 81K to Portland and 89K to Kingsley. And these CERT pays are nothing other than EMT basic, $50 a month. Hazmat technician is going to be 100 a month, and those just add up over a biennium, and it equals the cost that we have associated there. And so that's the piece that we're also asking for you to consider. It's a bill that we bargained, we got to do it, we got to pay it. And that transitions to the next slide. If there's a shortfall, and I'm not trying to be down here to talk about people's jobs. I don't like it. We lost one job in 2015. It was the worst experience of my life with that lady. But we're going to have to pay the bill somehow. And the fire departments, the wings, also have the operations and maintenance piece to that. And we're going to have to cover it. So if the 224 in the stormwater bill is going to equate to about 7 positions in operations. In the fire department, it's about 3. Those operations arenas are the HVACs, the electricians, the ground maintenance guys, the ones that clean the snow removal, that keeps the base operational. They're quite frankly the ones that are the heroes to the whole base, but of course the pilots are going to get all the recognition. But they're very, very important pieces.
Question,
to this.
Clearing of snow for jets, does that include Portland too?
It only does on our side at Portland, but at Kingsley, at Kay Falls, there's a cooperative agreement for all of that airport, as I understand it. So we to the Kay Falls airport is a lot. Portland has more resources because of the Port of Portland.
I'm just looking for participation, you know, somewhere along the line.
Thank you.
Wondering if I should call Wheeler.
So the impacts to Portland on 305K is we're gonna and it's that dang match. Everything at Portland is 80-20, and so to get to 300K, you're giving up a lot of federal money and you're giving a lot of capability. Next slide and last slide, co-chairs and members of the committee. Is the fire department and the effects there. 89K for the fire department. On Monday, that fire department was the first responders to a multi-vehicle accident, and they were dealing with casualties. That Kay Falls and that fire department means more to that surrounding area than it does to Portland, just because of all the cockeyed resources that exist in Portland, Port of Portland, Gresham, et cetera. But this fire department is also very, very important to the community and to Klamath Falls. And it's an 85-15. It's a little bit different ratio in funding. They have 28 operations people, and we'd have to give some people some notices in order to make up the money. And that's that really concludes it. I don't want to end this on the downside. I appreciate being the first state agency here to talk. Our Adjutant General couldn't be here today. He's out in Burns, Oregon. So he took the C-12 and our governor out to that great city. And so with that, I would be happy to answer any questions.
Do we have questions, comments? Do I see your hand up, Representative Sanchez?
No.
Are you just scratching for money?
No money ever shows up.
But she keeps trying.
The old wives' tale was if your palm of your hand is itching,
yes,
it means that you're going to have a windfall.
Yep, and I haven't had one yet.
My hand's never
so,
itched.
But that windfall is not a tree falling down, is it?
Well, I want to thank you for coming back for our second phase and presenting to us your pops, and sharing the importance of them with us. And of course, you know how committed some of us really are with the youth challenge.
Yes, ma'am.
As well as the work that's being done at Kingsley, and we understand the issue of the sewer charge for Portland. It seems like an awful lot, but I guess that's what it is.
Yes, ma'am.
So anyway, we do appreciate the detail and what have you on those.
And I would be, co-chairs, I'd be happy, and members of the community, I'd be happy to volunteer just before you make that decision for phase 3 if you need it to come back. but I'm only volunteering.
But I would like for you to share with us, because I know there's probably some other interest, the timetable, the timeline for Youth Challenge and that expansion. What you expect. I know we delayed the bond sale, and so... when you expect to break ground, when do we expect to have the first young students coming in? So,
yeah, Co-Chair Winters, members of the committee, in 15, we were asked to delay the bond sale until the end of the biennium. So the bonds have been...
They have been sold.
They have been sold. And so we're looking at breaking ground. That we're in the RFP process and the construction proposal process. We plan to break ground in September, this coming September. We're going to have a very elongated construction period because we need the school to continue. It's sort of like your kitchen. How do you remodel your kitchen and still use it at the same time? And we're asking these construction companies to remodel this facility but keep the school going, because we're not getting National Guard Bureau money and we're not getting ADM money unless we have students in the seats. And so we're going to have a very long construction period, and we hope to have it completed by December of 18. So the January of 2019 course will be the first cohort course with in the new facility, and that will be where we kick this off with a brand new with the 24 students, and so that would be our target, Co-Chair Winters.
Question? Yes, Representative Sanchez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, what's the current capacity?
Co-Chairs, Representative Sanchez, we start with 150, 152. We put bunks everywhere, and then we usually graduate around 135-ish, depending upon the course. Mm, okay. And we want to increase it by 84.
So you're cycling?
Cycling two classes.
Yes.
Yeah, two 22-week resident courses a year. Yes, ma'am.
And Representative Sanchez, several years ago, several of us did a tour at Youth Challenge, and I asked the question in observing the number of male cadets versus the number of female cadets, mm-hmm. and so I wanted to know why we couldn't have more ladies, mm-hmm. and so capacity has become the issue. It's also has become an issue as we've grown more statewide, and it's been kind of interesting to see that there is a waiting list of individuals who would love to get into Youth Challenge. And so even though I had been trying for years to get the capital construction dollars to allow them to do this expansion, it's been some challenges sometime in this building because you've got to become a priority list. Was successful finally in order to get the dollars, the $4.9 million. And so that's where we are now. It is a tremendous need. The success of the individuals going through Youth Challenge is, I wish that we could all in all of our educational facilities could say the same. And the cadets, you know, coming when you talk to them, and those who have been able to turn their focus and their lives around is commendable. And so I hope that all of you have the opportunity to, and I know you will be invited, because we're all invited to go over for graduation and what have you, and that you attend. Mm-hmm. I think you will find it's Oregon has, on a regular basis, have been the number one in the country for this type of program among the National Guard. So just know I'm very,
yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Very high on this one. Wish we had, if I could, I would have them in other parts of the state, but I'm told that that's a challenge for me to get there. Okay. Any additional comments? Yes, yes. Co-Chair Stark.
Thank you, good Co-Chair Winters. You may have told us this at some point. How often or what percentage of the time do the Youth Challenge individuals later come back and enlist?
Co-chairs, members of the committee, we don't use it as a recruiting tool, to be frank with you. I've had the privilege of speaking at a couple of the graduations, mostly just holding the bags for a VIP, and we usually see about one or two students that actually join the military. I cringe when I hear that they're joining the Navy, but it is what it is. And so it's anywhere from two, maybe three that you might see go into the military.
Okay.
We want them to be productive. We want them to be earn a good job, make right decisions.
I only ask, not that you would use it as recruiting, but it just seems, you know, if it helps certain individuals kind of straighten out their life and really sets them, you know, on a course of purpose and so forth, I would see that there would be a nexus to an appreciation for
sure.
The military. So
it's a militaristic school, and it's tough. And they're up in the morning doing PT. You heard their testimony. They're not playing on their Xbox after school.
They did.
Like my kids are right now.
They did a flag for us not too long ago.
Yeah. Senator Steinhauer.
I was just thinking, following up on Representative Stark's question, I was thinking about my constituent, Wendell Pelham, who came and talked about his son, who didn't go in immediately after his participation in Youth Challenge, but went back and graduated from Sunset and then chose to join the military after that. And I'm guessing that it's hard probably to track the kids long term, but maybe you do.
No. For the mentorship program, so
yeah.
About the non-resident, we will maybe five or six, but after that, if it goes beyond the year, then we don't.
Yeah. No. So I mean, it may be that they go back and they graduate high school, or they go on and they do ROTC in college, which is a great way for them to get their college education paid for and serve.
Absolutely.
You know, so they see that as a viable option. So it's a little hard to know, but I think that's a. I think Representative Stark's point is well taken. I'm glad you don't use it as a recruiting tool, but I also think it's a great career for some of our young people.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I think for me, the there's so many positive aspects to this particular program, particularly since we have struggled in this building with our high dropout rates. In the state. And here we have a program, and although it can only take 150, but it's here, that their success is somewhere in the 90s once they get the recruits into that building. And these are young people who, for whatever reason, and there are a number of reasons why they want to leave the traditional school at that point in their life. And yet, they go back to graduate with their class, the majority of them, which is also very impressive when you start to begin to see, well, and as I asked, I said, what was it? You wouldn't get up at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning when you were at home to go to school. And now you're required to get up at 5 or 6, and tell me you wouldn't have you doing push-ups at home or standing in the line to get your trays and your food because you would want to be at McDonald's or some other place in fast food, and yet here you are. So, from that, and so typically what I heard, one, it's structured and the structure's there, but also the other thing that I heard, they care. There is a lot of reinforcement contact that's taking place. You're not lost in the bigger context of a high school or whatever. You also have this mentor who is with you coming in and who is with you going out and still continues to be with you for another year. So there's some things that are going on there that I think, you know, that they have proven over the years. My first involvement was 1999, and I'm still just as enthusiastic about it in 2017 with the work that they do.
I
think those are some elements that we don't capture for in other places. You know, I'm fond of saying there are actually many pathways to learning, and we forget that. So Representative Co-Chair Stark and then Representative Sanchez.
Oh, I'm sure her comment's much more important. Thank you, good Co-Chair. Mr. Stark, I didn't notice the way you flinched when the good senator asked about government surveillance, you know, of our young citizens and tracking them. Just
me?
That's not how you worded it.
No,
I was teasing.
No,
I
was meaning in a positive way. I wanted them to know. I was
playing.
You were so mean to me.
Okay,
the
it's Holy Week, dude. Be nice.
Representative Sanchez.
Thank you. That is actually, all along those lines, is what I was wondering, whether or not you ever do any kind of reunion, follow-up, any kind of thing long-term. And if you don't, I think it would be a good idea.
I think so, too. The mentorship program is, that non-resident mentorship program certainly helps a lot. From a reunion standpoint, we don't do that. We can certainly take a look at that, Representative Sanchez.
I just think it would be an interesting way to possibly, just let people know like how successful long term, the program might actually be if you did a 5-year or 10-year sort of follow up, because we're required to do that in some of the grant funding that that I received to do different follow-ups. So it might be an interesting idea.
And it could be a positive experience. It just it's,
could be.
Yeah.
Do you, one question, do you ever have, you know, like Boy Scouts have these jamborees where everybody get together, and I'm thinking about all the other youth challenges across the country. How do we compare with them when you look at their dropout rates versus our rates and what have you?
Announce yourself again, just in case.
Co-Chair Stark, Co-Chair Winters, members of the committee. Senator Winters, the dropout rate throughout the country.
And whom are you?
Sorry. Dan Radabaugh, Director of the Youth Challenge Program. Senator Winters, the dropout rate throughout the country varies from state to state, and depending on the population of the state. They have the numbers to see how many dropouts are available to each Youth Challenge Program to make sure that the programs are successful when they do send the federal funding to each state. We compare very well. We lead the pack with the Youth Challenge programs as far as graduating, the number of cadets that we bring into our program, the percentages that we, the throughput is in the 90 percentile, and other programs throughout the country, they're not the high school model, they're a GED model, and their throughput is a little bit less, probably in the 80s.
Co-Chair Winters, that's, and you know this, but members of the committee, that's the nexus to what ours is we and a few other states are the ones that still offer that 8 continuing credits to go back to the high school or a diploma or a GED. One youth challenge is not the same if you look at them across the nation, and most of them are just GED, move them in, move them out. And that's what makes us what we believe is special and the
best. I'm just trying to give you kudos. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you for letting us.
Because every cadet that comes through our program, they will graduate and they have achieved something. They're going to have a GED, they'll have a high school diploma, or they'll have credits and they'll return to their hometown high schools with a foundation to build on their education and graduate.
Yep. Thank you, Chair Winter.
You're welcome. Because I recognize that all of our members here on the panel have not been here as long as I have to listen to your presentations and to understand the depths of what Youth Challenge is about. So just trying to give them a little more context. Thank you so much. Any other questions? Comments?
Ma'am.
With that, what? Oh, I forgot. She's telling me I've got to remind you of tomorrow. We meet for the Marion County tour, Work Release Center tour, in the rotunda at 3 p.m.
Don't be late.
Do not be late, right? Or Julie will leave without you. And next Wednesday's tour of the Oregon State Penitentiary will be from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. And Julie will send out emails to all the members to let you know all the specific details.
So, can I get the address of the place tomorrow? I need to take my car because I have an evening.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I don't now. I probably have judiciary. Hmm. Right? Tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what time it's scheduled, but...
Yeah. Forget it.
Okay. but you will receive an email from Julie.
Okay.
And then, like I said, the following week, we will be going to the big house on Center Street. And have a tour of the Oregon State Penitentiary. I promise you, I have not given any instructions for anyone to be kept there. So with that,
we are reassured.
We are adjourned.
You're so difficult. What is your major malfunction? You are so difficult. What is your major malfunction? You are so difficult.